Triple M's.
Oh!
That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways!
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
The test squad to take on Pakistan over the next two tests has been announced, and I'm so excited about it, I forgot to write a proper intro. Nevertheless, the Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to take you through all of it. My name's Rudy Etzel, I'm your host, I'm joined by Tommy Beers.
Hi mate, good to be here.
Ethan Noldrum.
Happy Gherkin to you.
Yes, a happy Gherkin indeed, we'll get on to him. And the biggest Redbacks fan in Victoria, it's George Porter. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Just checking in to see how our lead's looking over there in Adelaide Oval at the moment.
Ooh, it's a bad mate. Time to go for the Spiders.
It's dwindling, mate. It's dwindling. They're under 200 required.
Alex, the Wall Doolin is still in at time of recording. So
he's made 170 and now he's on to 81 not out.
The Redbacks have gone, if anyone's seen Moneyball here, they've gone the reverse Oakland A's. They may never win again.
Yeah. For the sake of this podcast, I hope they never win again.
And a certain Twitter account, I think it is. Who's in charge?
Shout out to them. I don't know who's running that, but hats off to them. It's a good account.
They're doing a great job.
I wonder if they've got the little option down the bottom to change Twitter accounts from days since the Redbacks won a game to years or days since Essendon won a final. It could be the same bloke just trolling two separate
fan bases. Good on him, I say.
Two at Rudy Etzel.
That's entrepreneurship. All right, let's discuss the test squad. It was announced today. No huge surprises, really. Tim Payne is our captain and wicketkeeper. Cam Bancroft is inside. Joe Burns, Pat Cummins is one of the vice captains. Josh Hazlewood, Travis Head, one of the other vice captains. Marnus Labuschagne, Nathan Lyon, Michael Nisa, James Pattinson, Steve Smith, Mitchell Stark, Matthew Wade, David Warner. How are we feeling, Ethan, about this?
Well, no Harris, no Khawaja, so it's a little bit of a shift in the batting lineup, which I suppose it's sort of what we had coming. Bancroft's the interesting one, I suppose, obviously top scored in the first innings of the last Aussie game, but it looks like Joe Burns will probably open the batting, which I'm on board with. I'm happy with that.
Bancroft probably won't play in the 11, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
He's in the squad purely on the back of being the only one who put in any fight in that Australia A game.
Yeah, we'll talk
because
about
it. He was a late in to that side as it was and then was batting at 6, which he never bats at 6.
Yeah.
And made 49 out of 120 runs or something with number 11 Riley Meredith making another 20 of them.
Yeah.
No one else in the top order did anything.
No one else even threatened really. You've got some stats on his first class innings this summer.
Yeah, dangerous territory. I've gone stats again.
Oh no, so, research content from George. This could go anywhere.
So you, busy and you, I think we're a bit different on this because I think that if Cam Bancroft
gets his stats right.
Well, that's true. But I think that Cam Bancroft wasn't good enough to be in the Australia A game initially. He only came in because Nick Maddison withdrew. So they pulled in Bancroft, they whacked him in at 6, just kind of fill a spot. That's what it looked like from afar.
That's fair.
They could have maybe grabbed somebody else like a Stoinis or something who bats at 6 or in the middle order at least for WA. Bancroft this summer in the Shield has made 30, a duck, 10, 6 not out. A duck, 11, and then the 49.
So it's about 100 runs with 6
outs. If he's not good enough to play for Australia A 2 weeks ago, or a week ago when they named the initial squad, and now he's been shifted in to this 14-man squad, and granted, he's probably not going to play. They'll open with Joe Burns. I think Joe Burns
he'll get first crack.
Done way more. He's done a little bit more this summer. This is a quote from Trevor Hones. We thought we needed a spare batsman in the squad. This is on Bancroft. He has worked very, very hard at his game and the improvement in his game is quite noticeable. If they needed a spare batsman, why didn't they actually put someone in who could probably bat in the middle order?
Yeah.
Or like Khawaja could probably be in the 14-man squad and open if required. Or
but he's going even worse than Bancroft is.
That's true.
I think the only batsman stiff not to be in there is Marcus Harris because he's the one who's belted down the door in the Shield and admittedly, he didn't do much in the A game, but he got himself to double figures twice, so clutching at straws. But he got himself somewhat in and was the best in the top four, at least. And then gets turfed after.
I'm not convinced Joe Burns is going that well either. To be honest.
No, that's what I mean. I think
he's
Harris
has got the best lot.
So Harris has made I don't have the stats in front of me, but he's made the most runs of the candidates at the top of the order, and he's just been shafted.
He needed to make some runs in the A game and didn't. Uzi Khawaja, have we seen the last of him as a test player? If he's got to get picked against Pakistan in Australia.
No, I still think we'll see him again somehow, somewhere.
He'll pop up.
Yeah, I think we've seen the last of Sean Marsh. If they didn't pick him now, they were never going to pick him again.
Yeah. Peter Siddle, same question, surely.
Yeah.
Surely that's it for Pete. Yeah.
So I don't mind Michael Nessa getting the nod.
Yeah, well, I just saw on Twitter the point being made that he actually bowled the Pakistan. He got the Pakistan captain out twice LBW in the Australia A series, and maybe they're looking at that going, oh, boy. But
he was quite impressive. He swings the ball up front. He bowls with decent pace. He holds the stick pretty well, and I think, he was there and thereabouts around the Ashes squad, didn't quite make the Ashes squad.
I reckon if they'd won the Headingley test, the Ben Stokes Headingley test, I reckon he would have played one of the last two.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I think
it's
going
to be very hard regardless for Nisa.
Yeah, it's difficult to see anyone.
We've got a plethora of bowlers.
Yeah, so it's difficult to see. So I imagine the first choice bowlers will be, obviously Cummins picks himself, Lyon picks himself, Hazelwood is probably our best, really. And then I think Mitch Stark has taken, I think, 17 wickets in the Shield.
Yeah, Mitch Stark has to get the first crack.
Mitch Stark with the ball in Adelaide at night is ridiculous. And I think Hazelwood might have been a man of the match in one of the day
nights. Hazelwood's a lock for mine. Yeah, I can't see him not being in that team.
And the 14-man squad's a bit weird anyway. I don't know. We haven't flagged that yet. Like, it was going to be a 12-man, now it's a 14-man. Yeah. And
two backup quicks doesn't make a heap of sense. And if you're going to make a 14-man squad, you'd pick extra bats, if anything. Like, you've picked Bancroft probably as a backup to bat in the top three, and I would have thought another backup to bat in the middle order would have been
More necessary than another quick.
So it is an interest. But in saying that, we're like in Australia. Yeah. We can pick whoever we want whenever we want.
It looks like a touring party, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Weird. I don't know why they picked such a big squad, but it is what it is.
Mm. The other big story out of the test selection is that Will Pukowski made himself unavailable. He's battling with mental health conditions again. Poor bugger is... I feel like... It might be best for all involved for him to say, I don't want to be picked, even considered to be picked for a couple of years. Like, maybe work on making himself comfortable at Shield level just to...
He looks so comfortable at Shield level, though. He does, makes so many runs and just looks at home at that level. Well, this is the natural progression, but obviously the publicity of him being this great white hope of being this
Tyro.
Yeah, this generational batsman and this guy to kind of build the team around for the next Ashes and whatever, the talk has kind of gotten to him, and this is the second time now that he's pulled out of a test squad, and it's a little bit worrying, I think everyone was just kind of keen to see a young batsman get another crack. Like, you see this, we've seen this with like Ponting and Michael Clarke and even Steve Smith to a certain extent, where you get these guys who start in the team at six, they're young, there's probably older, more established guys.
Wiser heads in the team.
Yeah, in the Shield, but even in Shield circles and we could easily pick, a more senior head to fill that role at six, but we're going to throw him in
there.
Or
a Travis head.
Yeah. We're going to throw him in, and he's going to be that guy who's just going to... We're just going to play 20 tests into him and just see how he goes. And I think everyone was kind of excited for that next guy, that kind of young batsman.
And he's Victorian, which suits all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I sort of come at it from a little bit different angle to you. I think it's actually really encouraging that he has the... the self-awareness and the confidence to be able to go to the,
absolutely.
Like, he probably,
don't get me
wrong. From a 14-man squad, he probably would have been picked.
Absolutely. I think he was picked in the squad. That's why he ruled himself out. I think he knew he was going to be in this squad and probably in that first test.
Yeah.
He would have been in that 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it actually reflects incredibly well on him for him to be able to put his hand up and go, you know what, I'm not in the right spot for this.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, totally agree.
Very mature outlook for a bloke who's only 21.
Yeah.
It's
incredible
when you think about it.
I just want to clarify that I absolutely back his decision.
Yeah, of course.
From the public's perspective, it would have been everyone was just really excited to see him get in there. It's a little bit disappointing to see him go out, but absolutely his well-being has to be number one in this situation.
Of course.
So you think from now it's, all right, you go back to play for Victoria or have your time off, and when you are ready, if it's next year, 2 years, 3 years, you just come to us.
Yeah,
we're not going to... We'll keep watching what you do, but if you're...
I suppose you just say
to
him,
ready,
the door's always open, mate. Like, we, if you feel like you're back and we'll have a go. I'd hope that that's how they approach it because it's, I thought they poorly handled it last time. Remember when they sort of made a big deal about like, oh, we're going to bring him in and then, and then he was devastated when they left him out and was struggling after that. So I think that they learnt a fair bit from that.
Yeah.
And it's good to see that Australian cricket, like, so Glenn Maxwell and Nick Maddison have also come out and spoken about their struggles recently, taking some time away from cricket. I think it's just really positive that the Australian cricket sort of zeitgeist is now, like, looks at this and it's not like a sign of weakness. You know what I mean? Because it could easily, that you could imagine that being the case back even 10 years ago.
It would have been if Will Kukowski had come in and said, like, ignoring the mental health issues, if he'd come in and made his debut in the first test and made a duck and then pulled out, like, it would have reached like an epidemic almost.
Yeah. And you think about like the discussion around Jonathan Trott going home in 2013-14 and how different it's become in just the ensuing 5-6 years.
But the difference here is that all three of those guys are at the top of their game when they're pulling out of these games. They're not in form slumps.
They're at the top of their game because this is where it kind of, the spotlight is on them more. Like, if you're playing club cricket,
but it's at the other end of the scale, isn't it? Like, usually you associate people pulling out with mental health
and if they're performing poorly,
getting dragged out. It's like, well, we can't pick this bloke. He's no good. Get him out. What, you know, well, he played his last test and the abuse.
The Trott example I brought up was he was very, almost visibly,
yeah,
not okay. Yeah. You could see it in the way he was playing.
Yeah, his confidence
was quite lethargic.
Well, these guys, Maxwell played one of the greatest T20 innings you're likely to ever see.
Like 2 weeks ago.
And then he was on the player mic the game after and everything seemed good. Out he went. Maddison piling on runs for fun in the Shield. Pekowski the exact same. But it's good that these guys are feeling confident enough. It's like, oh, well, if I don't take my chance now, I'm never going to get this chance ever again. It's like, well, my well-being comes first here and then this is secondary.
I wonder if it's a wider cricket. Like, three guys from one team is quite rare.
I think it's I think it's a wider society issue. To be honest, man. Right. I reckon that
seeing it in footy and things like that.
I'd hope that if this makes more men, especially young men, like, evaluate their own mental health and go, well, geez, if, you know, like, I was just enjoying Glenn Maxwell's work the other night on television. If he's, you know, in a shocking space, maybe it's a, you know, like, maybe I should, you know. Yeah, it's you know, you think, you make people think, gee, I'm drinking too much. Why am I doing that? You know, it's just a little bit of,
it's a little, yeah,
like,
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit of self-examination.
Yeah, five, ten years ago, like, a Nick Maddison and a Will Pekowski would have, like, they would have seen the opportunity in front of them and would have probably driven themselves into the ground even further by trying to get that opportunity. And now they're realizing, okay, look, it's close, but it's number two behind myself,
and it's not worth it.
It's not worth you know, ruining myself for.
It's not easy to segue away from that, but let's discuss the Australia A game, which Will Pekowski played in. The bat off, they were talking about it as, you know, the top six all going to fight for runs. It turns out the only bat off being had was between Papa Azam and Shafiq.
They plundered
They feasted
everywhere.
On Riley Meredith and the other bowlers there. They weren't really troubled. So they went 3 down relatively quickly, Pakistan, and then just, mate, I think they put on 300.
They looked a level above they are.
Yeah.
But, like,
Babar Azam is a generational talent.
He's world class.
And this is against, you know, Nisa is in the squad, Jai Richardson, who averages, you know, 20 something with the ball in every format.
Yeah.
Riley Meredith, who looks pretty bloody good.
Didn't look great the other day, but he looked good early, and then it was like, as soon as conditions stopped helping him, he was just not much chop.
Yeah.
But he will have learnt from that.
Gives us faith that we might be, you know, two weeks ago or something, especially after the Sri Lankan series and a couple of the 2020s, like, geez, this test series could be a little bit dull and boring. But
yeah,
I think, and some of the young bowlers from Pakistan, whether they actually
they
look all right. Oh, so a couple of
16-year-old Shaheen, was it?
I forget his name, but he nearly knocked.
What was it?
Nazim Khan?
Nazim.
And Shaheen's 19, 20?
He's Shaheen Afridi, isn't he?
Yeah, Shaheen Afridi.
They bowl celebration quick. Quick.
He's got a proper Lego haircut, that bloke.
Yeah.
It could be a pretty good, lively series. Like, I'm more interested in it now after that A game.
Pakistan, they always threaten to have a pretty lively series and then peter out. Remember that the MCG a couple of years ago, then they, was Ajay Ali made his double century and they still lost.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
They struggle
to
maintain
a way to lose.
They struggle to maintain the intensity for 5 years.
I still think
we'll beat them 2-0, but
you just know it'll be like day two, you know, just after lunch, Australia will be 5 for 550. Yasser Shah will have, you know, 1 for 200.
On that Aussie batting collapse, I think the both times that we batted was in that really difficult after dinner session.
It was in
the worst conditions possible. So, I mean, granted, they're going to have to do it in a test match anyway. But everybody failing. I mean, do you reckon if anybody made any more runs, the squad would be any different?
Well, like, the squad is how it is because Bancroft made runs. Well, and That's as simple as that. He's not in that squad if he doesn't make that 49 in the first innings.
Yeah, agreed.
I agree, but I think even with that 49, I still think Bukowski probably would have had that spot had he not.
Yep, I agree.
I think did Harris make more runs in that game than Burns? Burns made a duck and then he made about 11.
I think he did, yeah. Mm. Burns and it was a golden duck as well.
Harris is probably coming from further back, though. Like, he's had.
He got
more,
his chance in England.
He has
he's
exposed had more, form.
To be fair, no
bad.
One's been stiffer than Joe Burns be missing out on a test after career that he's had so far.
Joe Burns, his last test knock was 180. He averages 40 in test cricket, which I don't know if Marcus Harris can.
Yeah.
So
well, certainly
I think that was a pretty
exposed
decision.
Form hasn't appeared to. Anyway. Maybe Alex Doolan's the answer. He outscored Australia A by himself across both of their digs. He made 170 not out against the Redbacks in the first dig.
I did
dig.
See a stat on Twitter that he really turns it on just before a test squad announcement, like the last three years. That one innings leading into it.
I think it's like it's 250, 90 not out, and
it's
then 170
ridiculous.
Not out. Something like that.
He's made about 250 in this test now because he's 80-odd not out after making 170.
Let me just refresh.
Just quickly back on the Joe Burns point, I think they're probably just looking for a right-hander at the top of the order.
Yeah.
I think that we got majorly exposed having left-hand at the top. Warner was out. Harris was out. All of a sudden, we're into Smith and Labuschagne straight away. I think they just wanted to mix that up a little bit.
I take a batsman at the top of the order.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just to also, one more point on it. I'm so perplexed by this Bancroft selection.
Where's Tom Cooper?
Where's Tom Cooper, indeed?
Where's Henry
Well,
Hunt?
I'm just thinking...
George is walking around calling him Baggy Green Tom. Really.
Yeah. You're trying to nickname Fraser...
You are the one person on Twitter who is hashtagging justice for Weatherill.
No, well, I'm
the bloke
just
who averaged five before he peeled off 190.
If Bancroft's a spare batsman, and the likelihood is that he would, if he played, would be to slot him in the middle order. Maybe it's a good chance to blood someone like Alex Carey, who's probably going to have a career in the Aussie team.
Four Eyes McInerney.
If you need to put him in at
six. Why not Tom Andrews?
Chad Sayers.
No. One-ton Tom.
One-ton Tom.
Daniel Worrell.
The Spiders. we did want to talk about the Redbacks. They broke their record for their opening partnership.
They did.
It must have been Monday.
Following it very closely.
So was it Weatherall? 293, was it?
It was just under.
293.
About that.
It was
the lid was well and truly off here at HQ.
Because they haven't actually won a game for how long has it been? About 600 days, I think.
At least 600. I think we're creeping up on 630 days.
And they're still not going to.
That came as a shock to me because I was like, geez.
You were telling me they made the Shield final last year.
We played the final about 2 years ago, and then I realised that it's 2019-20, and I was like, oh, God, that's about 16-17.
On your recent form with fixtures, we never should have trusted.
Yeah, that's true. So but we're slowly.
So the Spiders have broken their record for their opening partnership there, and it's
and they've
looking
drawn.
Less and less likely. Like they're going to win the game, mate.
Well, we set Tassie.
They've got about 180 to get Tassie in the next 3 hours, and I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah,
Doolan's still
Matthew
in.
Wade
Wade's in.
Matthew Wade. I'm not
George
sure.
George Bailey to come.
George Bailey hasn't batted yet, so.
Ben McDermott. If anyone can pull it out of his ass, it's George Bailey.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Very good.
So it'll be interesting. In 15 wickets, I think, have fallen in 3 days. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near getting 10 in one.
165 to get they got at the moment.
And they'll have probably a session.
By the time this
half,
gets published, there will be a result. And God, I hope the Redbacks get done.
They probably can't win from here. So either way, they haven't won a game
That's
for still
true.
So long.
No.
We also wanted to chat a little bit of Gherkin. Young
up the Gherk.
Jake Fraser McGurk, he made his debut at 17 and looked, how good did he look?
50 odd, that front foot pull shot.
Front foot pull shot. I said on Twitter that it reminded me of Ricky Ponting and got hosed for it and then had a look and I was like, it's actually not that Ricky Ponting-ish. I think I just got excited by a front foot pull.
Shane Watson.
The front foot pull shot isn't in too many batsmen's kit bags. So the fact that he's 17 and he's playing Sheffield Shield cricket at the MCG and playing front foot pull shots, it's a good sign.
I was saying to you that day, Rudy, it actually looks a little bit like Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, it does.
Just the way he sort of like he plants the front foot and swats it away and just, you know, has a really big swing and a big follow through.
I think the thing that
just
was
stands
most
tall and just clubs it.
I think the thing that was most Ponting-esque for me was the
punter as a swivel.
Yeah, but I think the thing that was most Ponting-esque for me was like the disdain with which he treated it. It's the same. It's probably the reason it reminds you of Kevin Peterson as well. He's looked at it and gone, this is not a good enough ball to bowl to me.
This is a
goodbye.
Terrible enough.
Yeah.
So we've got this is going for four.
We've got a mix of Ponting and Peterson. No pressure, kid, but you better turn it on for the next 15 years.
Maybe, let's just all calm down. We've had the chat a little bit earlier. Yeah. Let's just let him do his thing. He's 17.
Nah, good on him. Good start. We're on the gherkin.
We've nicknamed him the gherkin, and I think Victoria.
So Jake Fraser McGurk.
Yeah. It's a real...
It's an odd... It's
it's a real McGurk. It's a real South of the Yarra sort of name.
It's a great hyphen.
It's a real private school name. Yeah. It'd be good on him, and we hope to see him at least 15 years.
We should see the Vicks tried to see whether or not we could get... I think, Rudy, to be fair to you, you might have started this on Twitter to try and get the Gherkin up and running.
Yeah.
Because what was his nickname from...
Apparently his teammates call him Rooster.
Rooster.
Or the Rooster. And I just replied to one of their tweets and said, please use his official hashtag the Gherkin. And they said, his teammates call him the Rooster, but we've seen a bit of love for the Gherkin on social media. What do you want to go with? And the poll resoundingly came back. 70% of people voted for the Gherkin.
Oh, really? I'm not going to look it up for you.
So I voted for that early because Gherkin is an obvious shout. And it was about 50-50. And then, so obviously the momentum for the Gherk.
People power spoke.
The Gherkin is for the people, my friend. The Gherkin is for the people.
Yeah, 70%. So
comprehensive
and then
win.
4% have gone with other.
Yeah, and there's a few people in there saying pickle, which is...
Okay, pickle.
I'm going with that. Yeah, you know, I'll run with that too, but I think the Gherkin is the official one.
Pickle's Gherkin.
Yeah. Before we push off, I just wanted to bring up the England and New Zealand, another super over.
They can't help themselves.
That same game where, and you posted the image, Beezy, where they were dishing out, it was a tie, ties? Yeah,
free ties, promotional ties. And it was the outstanding banter. And then they went another tie.
They needed 15 off the last over England, and Jimmy Neesham's given them 15. Yeah. So they needed 16. Jimmy Neesham's given them 15.
Carry a black cat under a ladder and chuck it through a mirror or something. He's been in three super overs this year and lost them all.
No, it's a tough life. That's cricket for you, though.
I don't think the Kiwis helped himself. Tim Southee's the captain because Kane Williamson's out. And he's not a bad bowler, Tim Southee, but if you're looking at that lineup, you're not taking the ball. You're giving it to Trent Bolt or Santner or something just to make
Trent
a little
Bolt's
bit...
your obvious one.
Trent Bolt's obvious. Yeah. I mean, he's all right. And Tim might have gone, all right, I'm the captain. I'll step up here.
And Guptill needed to face first ball.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Did he ever? And he was...
Well, they gave it to that Steinford because he...
He'd made big runs.
Yeah, and he really looked good.
Seifert,
They played that great game earlier in the week where David Milan just hosed the bowling attack. Just hitting... fours and sixes all
bit
over
of an
the shot.
Odd place, Eden Park, isn't it?
I mean, it shouldn't be a
48
meter
boundary.
There are some bloody good cricket matches there, though.
Yeah.
Some of Martin Guptill's balls would have been six on the biggest ovals in the world.
Yeah.
Huge.
So. Absolutely. I reckon that's just about does it for us. We'll probably be back just before the next test, I reckon, and then after the tests finish up, we'll do more. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Go, you Redbacks.
Up the Gherk.